Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Aaron Cates and Emma Gibney, who are students in our youth program.
Wish a happy birthday to my mom. Alright, so my name is Erin Cates and I'm a senior at Great Valley High School. I've been going to this church my whole life, and in fact I was baptized here by one of my best friend's grandfather. And most of you probably know me as that really quiet girl who would always hide behind her mom when I was younger. But now I'm up here. Okay. So when I entered high school, I decided to do something really crazy. I decided to join marching band. I don't exactly know why. I guess I was looking for a fun extracurricular activity, and I'd always liked playing the French horn throughout elementary and middle school. I soon fell in love with marching band and became passionate about it. The next year, my sophomore year, I decided to go out for section leader. A section leader is someone who is responsible for leading a particular group of instruments in the band. I didn't think I was actually going to get it, but I figured it was worth showing my band director I was interested in leadership. Well, it turns out I actually got the position and helped lead our band into winning our very first championship title that year. The next year, my junior year, I decided to try out for drum major. Again, I didn't think I was actually going to get it. I just wanted to show my band director I was interested. Well, I must have done something right because I actually got it and then continued being drum major into my senior year. Now, I realize there might be some of you out there who don't even know what a drum major is. A drum major is the one who leads and conducts the band. And the twins want to be in a demonstrate for you.
Yes, please. Yes.
Making sure all the members of the band are accounted for. A drum major's main responsibility, however, during shows and practices, is to conduct a clear, steady, and even tempo. You would think that because the drum major has control over the tempo during a show, that everyone in the band would be watching her, him or her, with complete focus and respond with accuracy. This is unfortunately not the case. And how do I know this? Well, when I'm up there on the podium, waving my arms around in one tempo, and there's something completely different going down on the field, I know my kids weren't watching me. Most kids are too lazy to watch the drum major, and they simply get away with listening to the drum line for tempo. Through my experiences being drum major, it got me thinking that God is kind of like a drum major for all of us. A drum major theoretically has power over the earth and feel of the music, like God has power over all of the earth. He continually gives us a steady tempo, but at times we fail to look up and follow him. In the scripture, Jesus commands his disciples to follow him, saying, "You who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel," according to Matthew 19:28. In fact, the Bible mentions following Jesus 58 times. God set a tempo for us by sending down his one and only son, Jesus, who gave us the perfect example to follow. That being said, it is not always easy to follow another's tempo. It can be scary to put your trust in someone else's guiding hands and believing they have the knowledge to get you through a show. We are all called in life to look up to the tempo and God and plan God set for us, but sometimes we fail to keep our eyes on our drum major and wander off course. Sometimes we go too slow and are under tempo. We lack drive and excitement in our life and faith. When I was growing up, I hated coming to church and Sunday school. I thought it was boring, and my parents would always make me stay longer so they could talk to everyone. And they still do. I did not have a personal connection with God, and I was slow in my faith. But it's not until I started attending youth group in middle school and going on retreats when my faith started to pick up speed and I started to look up to God more for time. If there are times in our life when we drag in our faith, then the opposite is often true in that we rush. Sometimes we get off God's tempo by going too fast. We get so caught up in the anxiety and stress of life that we don't take the time to slow down and listen to God. In this past year alone, I can definitely say I've been rushing through God's tempo. I tend to get involved in more things than I probably should. Through taking all AP and honors classes, being involved in multiple music ensembles, attending youth group and helping out confirmation here at the church, and holding a part-time job, there have definitely been a lot of times when I forgot to look up to God and I let myself rush through life. Less than a month ago, I rushed through life so much that I almost had a near-death experience. It just so happened that the two activities that are very important to me and I love being in, fit orchestra for my school's musical and helping mentor the confirmation class here at PPC, were happening on the same day. That morning, on April 2nd, the confirmation class was reading their statements of faith at the 7:30 and 10 o'clock services. I was really looking forward to hearing all their statements and seeing them get confirmed officially after spending months helping out with the class. But it was hard to enjoy being in the moment with them when I had so many other things on my mind. I was already exhausted from performing all week and in Pitt, and I still had my last performance to get to that afternoon. And I had a physics test the next day that I was in no way prepared for. When the service ended, I looked down at my phone to check the time, and I saw the service ran about 20 minutes late. I had to be at school a little before 12, and I did not want to be late for my last performance ever with Pitt Orchestra. So I got in my car, probably too rushed and stressed to be driving. I approached the intersection of South Valley and Route 30 to make a left turn. When I came up to the light, it was green, and I waited a few seconds until it was safe to go. It was clear for me to turn, so I started to turn just as the light turned yellow. Figuring I had already started the turn, and I was in a rush to get to school, I continued when out of the corner of my eye, I saw a car coming towards me. The person, for whatever reason, had decided to go through a red light. It ended with our two cars colliding. How I was able to walk away completely unharmed physically, I'm not sure. But I think any accident survivor will tell you the emotional damage far outweighs the physical. A few minutes after the crash were a chaotic storm of emotions, and I was still having trouble contemplating what had just happened. I could not get a hold of my parents, and the only person there for me was a random lady who witnessed the crash. The lady was asking me something when I saw three of my best friends, Allie Streeter, Ingrid Miller, and Maddie Ridgway, walking down the street. They had been driving to lunch when they saw the crash, but I truly think God sent me those three angels in my time of distress. A few minutes later, Jack from confirmation class also biked over to make sure I was okay. I felt the love of my church family surrounding me in that moment and the tough days that followed. My life at the time of the crash was so chaotic and out of hand that I felt I needed to rush through God's tempo instead of looking up to Him. Through both experiences of being apart from God's tempo in my life, whether it's too slow or too fast, I learned that God will always be there to keep you on track. Both times, I felt God reach out to me and call me back to Him. God in no way expects us to perfectly follow His tempo all of the time. He knows we get distracted, and sometimes it is hard for us to put our trust in His plan. I think Martin Luther King Jr. put it best in his 1968 sermon, The Drum Major Instinct, when he said, "And there is deep down within all of us an instinct. It's a kind of drum major instinct, a desire to be out front, a desire to lead the parade, a desire to be first. We all have the desire at times to go with our own tempos and be our own drum majors. But we must remember that God is our one and only true drum major, because with Him, all things are possible, as Scripture tells us. He will not get angry when we get off from Him, just as I do not get mad when my kids in marching band do not follow me. But instead, I do everything possible to get them back on track again." We cannot perfectly lead ourselves in life, and Jesus says in Matthew 19:21, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. God calls us to be his colleagues, to be instruments of his love and passion, and make a joyful noise to him. Psalm 33:2 says, give praise to the Lord on the corded instrument. Make melody to him with instruments of music. If we look to God, he leads us through the music of life with his steadfast and never-failing love for us. God will always love you regardless, through the ups and the downs. But I can tell you as a drum major, experiencing those moments when the music finally comes together and watching your kids finally accomplish something they've worked so hard for is one of the best feelings in the world. Next year, I will be moving on to a new song in my life. In the fall, I will be attending Baylor University, 1,336 miles from here in Waco, Texas. And yes, it is a Baptist school, so I'm shaming on you. I am truly going to miss worshiping with you all every Sunday, except for Bill Norsini. And I cannot thank you enough for all the love you showed me and all the lessons you have taught me over these 18 years. To all my fellow seniors, we have all grown up in this church together. You all mean the world to me, and I'm not sure what I will do without you in the coming years. I challenge you to continue to support all the youth programs here at PPC and to continue to love and bring up all these underclassmen helping to put on the service today just as you have loved me. And no matter what happens in your life, whether you are dragging or rushing, remember to look up to God, your drum major, who conducts for you a steady tempo of his love. Thank you.
Thank you. English, I didn't find a new one. And on top of that, I had no clue I was going to write for my sermon today. I am a second semester senior. I thought this kind of stress was over. But instead, I'm working my hair out, wondering how I'm going to make it through next week when I have another competition coming up and only a week away from school and I have an internship. It's incredibly stressful moments like these that makes me wish I was in fourth grade again. Being a kid was so easy. We actually liked getting up early. The most wrong thing there was in school was that someone stole your pencil. But once the teacher made him apologize, we'd be playing tag together 5 minutes later. Looks didn't matter then. Everyone talked to everyone and no one ever judged you. The thing I miss most about being a kid though would have to be my blind faith to God. I feel like it was easy then to have to go to church and say, yeah, there's a God and he loves me. Because we had it so easy at the time. We didn't have to understand anything the pastor was saying or even pay attention to him because we just knew God was there. It was so easy back then. But then we get multiple years when kids start to learn what trends are and what are cool things to have in school. Popularity suddenly becomes something everyone wants and a competition begins. People who never cared what other people thought started to. And again, looking at others who still didn't care in a way that started to make those kids feel like they had to as well. It was a vicious cycle. Luckily for me, I switched to an all-girls school, so I felt like it wasn't as bad because we didn't care what bullies thought it was. But I remember one of the first days of school, we didn't have to wear our uniforms, so I wore some shirt that I got from Mexico the previous year. And a girl in my class said, ew, I could never wear a shirt like that. Maybe it's a small for art. And I instantly felt embarrassed. I looked around that day at the other girls in my class to see what they were wearing, so I would get an idea of what I could wear next time. I remember seeing a girl wearing a Phillies t-shirt, but she would be acceptable to every other girl who was wearing some pretty blouse. And I hated blouses at the time, so I thought a sports t-shirt would be acceptable. Later on, I learned it wasn't for people like me, because I wasn't as popular as that girl. Soon, I learned that the right things to say and how to act around certain people so that I didn't stand out and get judgmental looks from others. And as I started to learn how to fit in, I also started questioning God. Because church always made it sound like God knows who we are for a reason. And yet, every little thing we do, we get looked at in a judging way. Luckily, I never had it too bad when it came to the judgments. But I always looked around at the girls, but I was always around the girls who made fun of other girls in our grade. Simply before they ate. And I just laughed along with them because I was too nervous to judge myself for standing up to them. And I hated myself for it. Middle school, however, is only training to what I see in high school. We learned all about profanity and we were not afraid to describe one another with it. I heard horrible things being said about people and I let it happen because I had learned throughout the years that being different was usually a bad thing. It's too bad I learned the hard way that my friends thought I was different too. It turned out that my friend group that I had all of middle school weren't invited to any of their out-of-school occasions anymore. They were going to concerts and birthday dinners together and never invited me. I only found out about them because they were talking quietly in the library, looking through the pictures from the previous adventure that they had with my back turned to them, but they weren't quiet enough. It comes to my attention that that I wasn't fun to be around, and I was all of a sudden outside of my friend group. At least that's what they made me feel like. Why was God doing this? What did I do to deserve being left out? I felt like I had no friends, even after I followed all the rules that society has brought on as acceptable, and I was completely alone. After 3 years, I'm out of new school. I have friends, and I really don't care what people think of me anymore, and I'm a lot happier this way. I just wish I'd been sooner. Because through all these obstacles I've been in, during my middle school and high school career, I really didn't know God was there, which is my biggest struggle writing this. I wasn't going to lie and say, I saw God here, because I really don't think I've seen God yet. My faith has been struggling for a long time, and I wish that fourth grader again, and I wish I was that fourth grader again, who just knew God was there because she was happy with who she was and what God made her be. But I am here because I want to see him. I am here because I want to have faith, and I know it's not going to happen right away, but I hope I would tell her to never worry about what other people thought of her. I would tell her that eventually she would find friends that would accept her for the way she was. I would tell her that if she ever felt alone, that she could always find someone, especially the people in the group who have had her back for years. I would tell her that if she's ever feeling horrible about herself, to remember what they used to tell us up in the front of the sanctuary during children's time. That she was beautiful, God loves her, and so do so.